even after they're born. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. So this week, the National Education Association had a big powwow talking about the future. Look, this Supreme Court case is going to harm educators. We know that. It's going to cause chaos. It's going to cause problems. The hope is that the teachers all rally together, stick together, stand shoulder to shoulder, and fight back and really make their union that much stronger. So here to talk a little bit about, you know, what the future holds for teachers, I've asked Erica Chavarria to come talk with us. She's a Maryland educator and also a board of directors member of the National Education Association. Erica, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So what did we find out at the big powwow?
Oh, we found out a lot. we definitely found out that in light of Janus, we are not giving up. We are sticking together. We are going to fight. And we did a lot of really amazing, great work this RA. So I can give you some details if you'd like.
No, absolutely, because, you know, I look at, you know, what happened in places like Arizona and Oklahoma, and I'm assuming that's the model. I mean, much more direct action. And what I've been calling for I don't know, about 15, 20 years now, that the most educated union members, the most articulate union members, be the ones to get out in front and say, hey, this is why I'm a member.
Absolutely, absolutely. We are going to be taking more direct action, supporting states that have already been dealing with that are not collective bargaining. So we're going to be following their lead. Following in the lead of West Virginia, Arizona, North Carolina, Oklahoma, et cetera. So definitely taking more direct action. I think what we did a lot of good work in terms of deciding what our beliefs are going to be in light of Janus as well. Making sure that we're making racial justice a priority, even though that could there's a fear that it could be divisive and we could lose membership. But I think we really proved that we are not going to give up on racial justice work. We passed a resolution on white supremacy culture, which is basically a belief statement that we are recognizing the historical roots of white supremacy culture in this country. And I think that was pretty historic. It was even more historic than the NBI that was passed several years ago on institutional racism. So now we need to make sure that our belief statements, that we are taking direct action in light of our belief statements.
How can that be, you know, controversial or divisive? I mean, you know, even, you know, Ted Cruz and Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner said, don't vote for the Nazi. You know, how can, you know, being against white supremacists be a bad thing?
Yeah, right. You know, we have members from all over the country and with all different beliefs. And we have members that are scared to go back to their delegations and say that we are making a strong statement against white supremacy because they don't want to have those tough conversations and they don't want to talk about race and how it impacts every single one of our children and our citizens in this, and non-citizens, everybody in this entire country. So, you know, it's more of a fear factor and just the uncomfortableness, but if we need people to be uncomfortable, we need people to take a stand and have these conversations. And I think that the fact that we almost unanimously, I can't say unanimously, but it was a majority vote to pass this resolution shows that the majority of us are on the right side, that we are willing to take that step and at least name it for what it is, which is a first step. It's not the most important. We need to make sure that our actions are now following suit in our beliefs that we are recognizing white supremacy culture.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've been, you know, concerned about, and, you know, one of the hopes I think of the right wing is that by Janus going through the Supreme Court, it's going to take some of the air out of progressive groups and pushing for more progressive policies, more equal social justice, more equal access, more equality and all of that stuff. So what you're telling me, if I'm hearing this right, is their hopes have been dashed and that actually you've recommitted to the idea of social justice and all of that stuff.
Absolutely. First of all, I have to give a shout out to our ethnic caucuses. We banded together and supported each other's NBIs, new business items, the Black Caucus, Hispanic Caucus, American Indian and Alaskan Native Caucus, the Asian Pacific Islander Caucus. We The caucuses really stood strong together to support each other. We were able to pass a Black Lives Matter NBI that says that NEA will advocate for the Black Lives Matter at School Week of Actions that have taken place over the past several years. We passed the NBIA, which is another one of these historic NBIs that directs NEA to support the immigrant families being detained and separated at the border. We passed another NBI that directs NEA to continue their support with the residents, the children, the families of Flint, Michigan, which we know are in a state of emergency, and their free water bottle service is being cut off, even though they're still being poisoned and even having to pay for their poisoned water. We had a lot of our aspiring educators and our young professionals that passed a lot of business dealing with making sure that NEA is focusing on being able to recruit and retain Black and brown educators into the teaching profession. We did a lot of amazing work that shows that in light of this Janus decision, we are still committed, we are going to remain committed, and we are going to be even stronger in the fight for racial justice and education.
No, and that's a great thing. But, you know, there's some fears, from what I understand, that you're going to lose a substantial number of members. In fact, there was some budget cutting, I guess, being done, which is, you know, the economic reality of the world that you guys are in. So it's going to, in my view, while the resources are being taken away, it has to be replaced by much more militant and active members. And look, those 370,000, I think that they view are going to go in the next 2 years. Those are probably people that you don't really want in the movement. At least that's my view. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go there.
I'm not going to go there. But what I will say is that I actually believe that our racial justice work is a membership organizing tactic. I wouldn't say tactic, but it's a tool to recruit membership. What we see, we have our student populations, our demographics are changing, and I think that if members can connect to not just bread and butter issues, but if they can see themselves in the work that NEA is doing, and they can make those connections, and they can follow their passions through NEA, and see what NEA is doing in the work of racial justice and social justice, I think it's actually a way to gain membership. I see it as a positive thing. I see it as an opportunity. I don't see it as something that's going to negatively impact us.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, because we had some guests on from Arizona and from Oklahoma, talking mm-hmm. about the strikes that were going on there and the deplorable conditions, especially in high poverty minority areas. And, this is where I think you're going. Advocating for better funding for schools, smaller sizes, class sizes, things that are going mm-hmm. to help those poverty-ridden communities have access to a better education. You know, it's one of these weird kind of moments we're in, though, because I don't know if you saw this story from Detroit where a judge just ruled that kids don't have a right to literacy, which is just kind of insane to me.
Unbelievable. I did see that, yes. That was something that a lot of the members were talking about. And obviously, that's absolutely absurd. Every child has a right to literacy. Every child has a right to a quality, free public education that is equitable. And we as educators are we're the people on the forefront every day. We need to take actions in our own classrooms, making sure that we are treating our children in a way that is restorative, that we are not adding to the school-to-prison pipeline in the way that we interact with students and communities, and that we take collective action as well. So it's a really it's how we act in our own classrooms and our own schools, and it's also collective action, banding with community members. We need to make sure that we are engaging the community, especially in the light of Janus. We're going to need to have community allies, and that's the only way we're going to get stuff done.
You know, we hear an awful lot about reform. We hear an awful lot about, changes. And look, you're dealing with a lot of the charter school stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with a lot of the attack, Education Incorporated and the privateers who are pushing this stuff. And a division in teaching, because there are a lot of the anti-charter school things. And, those teachers, in my view, should be unionized to protect their wages, mm-hmm. hours, conditions, and also their ability to practice their craft. Mm-hmm. This division only makes everybody worse off, at least kind of the way I see it.
I see where you're coming from, definitely. But we have very, very, very strong people who are fighting against the charter takeover movement and the privatization, and coming at it from a community-based organizing perspective. For example, the Journey for Justice Alliance Brother G2 Brown, who is the director of the Journey for Justice Alliance. He actually won one of our Human and Civil Rights Awards this past RA. We have worked in collaboration with him in terms of fighting back against charters. We also developed a community schools policy statement with input from the Journey for Justice Alliance and other community organizations, which is one of the most important ways of fighting back against the privatization of charter schools. Community schools, when they're implemented the right way, and I believe our policy statement on community schools does direct NEA to take actions to support community schools and the idea of it, and it was done in a way that is not in the language of the co-opters of community schools, who are that term has now been co-opted, and they think it means one thing, but we know what it really means, and it means not just wraparound services, but providing restorative justice practices, anti-trauma teaching, community involvement in the school system, as well as the basic necessities that students need, but really keeping that community school intact. And these are the types of ways that we're going to fight against the corporations and fight against the charters. I understand wanting to unionize charter school teachers and educators, and, you know, I don't know how much more I can say on that, being in the position I'm in as a director, but I do understand that. I believe that it should be everyone's right to be unionized, but there's a fine line between making sure that we are still, that our focus is still on working against the charter movement and against the corporate movement.
No, I'm with you. You know, but at the end of the day, it's always been my position that I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care. You punch a clock in this country, you should have the right to join and form a union, and you should have the protections and the due process that comes with it. Look, I'm not a charter school person by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm,
and the idea of community schools, you know, like I had them as a kid. They were in the neighborhood. They were there, you know, over the summertime where, you know, when I was a kid, they actually had a school lunch program during the summertime, you know, where kids would line up all summer long and get probably what was the only hot meal most of them got all day long until Reagan came along and destroyed it and, you know, gave us ketchup as a vegetable. But that's a whole nother topic. The idea for me of having a community school is where kids get to go and, you know, participate in athletics and activities and extracurricular activities, all evening and throughout the summer. And it'd be a place where, you know, parents can get, you know, if they need remedial help or if kids need after school help, that it's part of the community. It doesn't shut its doors at 4 o'clock and not allow the kids to play on the jungle gyms or any of that stuff, which is where things have gone.
Yes, agreed. The another part of the concept of community schools is everything what you're saying, but it's also being very intentional about involving community members and providing students with not just the after school activities and those types of resources that they need, but also talking about making sure that we are putting a focus on restorative justice practices as opposed to punitive discipline and zero tolerance policies, which ends up pushing our Black and Brown students out of school and into a path to prison. Making sure that teachers are trained in teaching practices that are prevent future trauma for students. Making sure that we have plenty of guidance counselors and health services. And so there's a lot of things that go into community schools that are in addition to everything that you're saying. But yes. It's really the culture and the way that the school operates and then making sure that there's community involvement. And there's a lot of identifying the needs of the building and then working from there.
No, you're right. Because, you know, in Philadelphia, for instance, there are schools that they don't have librarians or guidance counselors or even nurses. And the one year, I think there were two kids who died. I'm not saying they would have lived had there been a nurse there, but they'd had a better chance. And it's one of those things that, you know, if in any suburban setting, you know, if the school didn't have a school nurse, there'd be all hell to pay. Last line of questioning I've got for you, because one of the things that has always infuriated me about what's going on with Education Incorporated is that they've hijacked the curriculum. You know, education, teaching is now appears to be a factory job. You know, from 7:05 to 7:09, you know, we're going to do this, and from 7:09 to 7:22, we're going to do this, and everything's just highly regimented. And you know, teachers are professionals. Teaching to me is an art. It's a craft. It's a skill. that you should be, you know, should be honed and practiced, and you know, teach kids to love learning.
Is
there a movement within the NEA to maybe undo some of these highly restrictive curriculum decisions and go back to when I was a kid, where if a teacher decided for an extra 15 minutes we were going to pursue an idea or a thought, they could do that without fear of repercussion?
Yeah, so we definitely, curriculum, everything you're saying is 100% correct. I think the focus that we are trying to do at this point, definitely working against the testing movement, right? We are not in favor of high-stakes standardized testing. We recognize that the pressures of the testing, not only is it bad for students, but it kind of forces a teacher to have to teach to the test, even though they may not want to. And also, the other issue that we are really trying to tackle is culturally relevant curriculum, and making sure, and culturally responsive curriculum, and making sure that the curriculum that we're teaching students is reflective of the diversity of students that we have. Because right now our curriculum is very Eurocentric, white-centric curriculum that does not accurately reflect history. And so we are making sure that we are focusing on pushing for policies that are demanding culturally relevant curriculum and involving community groups. Like, for example, Racial Justice Now is a community organization that does a lot of work on culturally relevant curriculum, making sure that we're reaching out to community organizations who are doing the work as well, so that we can make sure our curriculum does accurately reflect history the way it should.
All good stuff, and I hope, again, I hope that the most articulate, the most educated union members among us stand up, step forward, and speak out, and continue to support their union and continue to fight for better opportunities for our kids. Erica, I appreciate the time. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Good stuff. Again, you want to check out the Badass Teachers site. Yeah, they do some great work. You can follow them at Twitter, all of that. Let's take a quick break, right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. For working people, come to talk.